me in your Bibles to two places this morning, Jeremiah 29:13 and Psalm 119:10. I believe the Jeremiah passage is Susan Godwin's life verse, and the Psalm 119:10 is Allison Putnam's. And thank to them, both of them, for submitting those. We're still working through the life verses together. What a rich investigation this has been, I think. So first, the Psalms and then Jeremiah. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And then Jeremiah 29. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, put us all in seeker mode this morning. It's a place where we should be really most all the time, because you sought us out. Jesus said when he walked among us, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And those whom he has found and who have found him, our job is now to seek him, to be on that journey, be on that quest. Equip us for that, Lord. Give us a passion for it. For is there no greater treasure to be sought than to be closer to you? In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible is full of seeking and seekers. 305 times in the Old and New Testament together, some variation of the word seek is used. Another 107 times, the past tense sought is used. So there's a whole lot of seeking going on in the Word of God. It's a recognition of the questing nature of human beings. Everyone is seeking something or someone. We all know deep down inside of ourselves that we are on a journey, we are on a quest, we are on an adventure. And the only question is, what is it that we're searching for? Or perhaps, who is it that we're searching for? Now, that quest can often be frustrating. I think of the U2 song. You know, that band is made up of believers who had a struggle with the church in their early days as teenagers, because they grew up in the days of the Irish Troubles, when the two main groups of people who identified as Christians, the Catholics and the Protestants, were murdering each other. And so they decided to focus on Jesus. That's why a lot of their lyrics from then till today have lots and lots of biblical references in them. But perhaps one of their most famous songs, some even call it a modern hymn of sorts, is "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." I've always been a little bit ambivalent about that song, because I've found what I'm looking for. But the journey's not over yet. Some people, in their frustration, are led to embrace the Robert Louis Stevenson quote, "It's better to travel hopefully than to arrive." The journey is what it's all about. Now, I'm ambivalent about that as well, because on the one hand, in this life, the journey is all we have. The journey is this life. From the moment that we encounter God until the moment that we stand in his presence, we should be on a journey. But I don't like the idea that arriving is not important, or that perhaps we never will arrive, because that's not what the Bible teaches, is it? So many quests are disappointing. People looking for that perfect life companion, the perfect woman or the perfect man or the perfect job or the perfect place to live or the perfect whatever it may be. They're looking for this quest, and they're just not getting there. As a matter of fact, many quests are ultimately disappointing because you achieve the goal of your quest and then you go, is that all there is? There's a song about that too, if you remember back that far. And the chorus goes, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Well, if that's all there is, my friend, then let's just keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball, if that's all. And a lot of people have given up on finding an answer to life, on finding a meaning to life. Even though deep down inside, hardwired into who they are, they know that their life's a journey, and that there is a reason, a direction. Even people who say there is no God and that there is no real meaning to life, there is no direction, there is no journey, even they say when pressed against the wall, well, we have to pretend that there is. We have to pretend that there is purpose to life. And I always scratch my head when someone says that and say, why? If you really truly believe that life has no meaning, that life has no purpose, that we're just cosmic accidents, then what's the point? Why pretend? Well, we don't have to pretend because life does have meaning and life does have a purpose. I know this because the Bible boldly claims that there is one quest that is worth the journey, the quest to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. That is the journey that will never let you down. That is the journey that will take you to the end point, and it will be the best possible end that you can possibly imagine, because the Bible says when we close our eyes in this world, we open our eyes before the throne of God, and if we belong to Him, He welcomes us into His presence for eternity. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you must seek, and seeking by definition is hard. Journeys are not always easy. The definition of seek is the attempt to find something or someone. It's from a Latin word that means to perceive by scent. Have you ever caught a whiff of something? What's that? And you follow the smell, you follow the odor, trying to find it. I like to do that when it's a good smell. Some of you have heard me tell the story of Mr. Stinky, an animal that crawled up under our house and died where I couldn't get to it. And the first awareness we had of his presence in our midst was Dana, who has a much more attuned sense of smell than I do, going, what's that? And she followed her nose all around and ended up in the back corner of the master bath, which of course is right next to the master bedroom where we sleep. Smells like something's dead. I went crawling under the house with a bag to collect Mr. Stinky up. And there was this block wall in my way that I couldn't get past. So for several weeks, he was a continual reminder in our midst until finally he just didn't bother us anymore. I guess he's still under there somewhere. But yeah, the word seek to means at its basic level to follow by scent, to get the scent of holiness when we're following Jesus, the sense that there's something out there ahead, someone out there ahead is where we start very often, but it's a journey that never ends. And you can't be half-hearted, as it says in Psalm 119, with my whole heart I have sought you. Commitment is required. And discipline and accountability is required as well. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. What's the song? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's why we gather. That's why we have each other, because we're prone to wander. We're prone to follow other scents out there that might smell a little bit sweeter or might be a little bit more fascinating, to take some side trails away. But we must not do that. It's wasted time. At the very least, it will waste time. At the worst, it could cause great harm and damage to us and others around us. With my whole heart, I have sought you. But you know, there's this other thing that we need to realize, that failures along the way are guaranteed. Will you lose your way on this journey? Yes, you will. Will you get diverted? Yes, you will. Why do I know? The Bible tells me so. For instance, in Psalm 77, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I love that, because it tells why the Lord is far away, because my soul refused to be comforted. In the midst of our side trips, whether we realize it or not at the time, there is the seed of rebellion against God, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And the bad thing is, when we fail, when we fall face first on the ground, we tend to quit. Maybe it happened in a way that embarrasses us, or maybe it discourages us, but we tend to quit. But the word of God calls for persistence. Again, let's look at the larger context of Psalm 119:10. Let's look at verses 9 through 11. Verse 9 starts with a question: how can a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is given: by taking heed, that is, by persisting in according to your word. And then the challenge is given, which is that life verse: with my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And then, right after that, a tool, a primary tool, is given so that this journey can be successful. Verse 11, that ought to be a life verse as well. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, one of the best ways that you can armor yourself against that wandering and against that drifting away in our quest for the presence of God, it's putting this word in our hearts. I've gotten to the point where I really don't even care if you do the numbers or not. You know how I am with numbers. Numbers flipping around and jump and dance in my head. I've always struggled with the number parts of quotations. But it's the word. It's the word. If you know what the word says, that word, if it's hidden in your heart, can come out and encourage you and challenge you and exhort you and sometimes save you from going down the wrong road. Because we've got to be on that road. Which brings me to that other companion life verse, because I put these two together because they are so simpatico. They are hand in hand in what they're saying. And that's the verse in Jeremiah. The promise of that verse. God is speaking through the prophet, saying, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's that wholeheartedness again. But what I want us to focus on in this moment is that promise. You're not wasting your time if you're seeking after the Lord. You're not wasting your life if you're trying to live a life that's pleasing to him. You will seek him and you will find him. It's what they call a sure thing. Don't you like to have a sure thing when you're making a decision in your life? Isn't it more difficult if there's a question about how things will turn out, if there's wonder, if you've only got a percentage? Well, I'll give you a 50-50 chance. See, that's not what the Lord says. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you a 50% chance of finding me if you'll seek me. No, you will find me if you seek me. If you seek me with all your heart. This promise is restated many times by Jesus. As a matter of fact, much of Jesus' teaching, I'm sure you know, is a restatement of what's been taught in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't say that many new things. He just came and said it with authority. This is my word. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." The seeking is what it's all about. And then Luke records in his gospel, chapter 11, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." Not most people. "And everyone who knocks, it will be opened. And everyone who seeks will find." So there's the promise, not just from Jeremiah, but straight from Jesus' lips. But let's return to the context of Jeremiah for the rest of the story. Boy, I miss that guy who used to do the rest of the story segments on the radio. That was good stuff. Let's look at the rest of the story in this passage in Jeremiah. You remember, don't you, that Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. That's what he was called by others. He was called the weeping prophet because God gave him the task of bringing the bad news to his people that his nation was going to be destroyed and that a great many of the people were going to be carried off into captivity, into slavery in a foreign land. How would you like to be given that job, to give that message before there's any hint that's happening? To people who don't want to hear it. Oh, they really appreciated Jeremiah for that so much that they threw him in a pit. That's appreciation. But he was sent by God to proclaim the destruction of his own nation. But here's a truth worth considering, especially as we think about our journey. God can use most productively, sometimes, oftentimes, many times, the journey that is through hard times. Have you ever noticed that? That some of the most significant lessons that you learn in your life about who the Lord is and who you are before him and what the journey is all about, some of the greatest insights you've gotten at some of the most difficult times of your life. We tend to shy away from the hard times. Nobody wants hard times in our lives. Nobody wants that to come in. We want easy street all the time. But that's not the way life is. And I don't know if it's just that God gets our attention better or we're just more needy and more aware, but for whatever reason it is, God can get his truth through to us, and some of our most productive seeking can happen in the hard times. And seeking is already, of course, well established in the Hebrew history and prophecy, and much of it in hard times. I think about David's advice to Solomon in 1 Chronicles. "As for you, my son Solomon," here's a guy who's inheriting a kingdom. He's going to be the most wealthy man on the planet by some measures. "Know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." And if you read the rest of Solomon's life story, you find that when he was seeking the Lord, things were good. They were very good. But even the great golden king wandered away. And then things got bad. And what about the advice of Isaiah, who just preceded Jeremiah by some years in terms of the line of prophets? From Isaiah 55, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That seeking is what it's all about, all through the Word of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. When you have those moments of opportunity to encounter God, have the encounter. Go there, do that. And even when the Lord seems far away and the hard times have come, don't give up on the seeking, because maybe God is going to give you one of the great insights of your life, even while you're walking through a hard time or a dark place. So Jeremiah says the nation will fall, and you will suffer, and many of you will be carried away into slavery in Babylon. But then he continues, and this is the context of the Jeremiah life verse. Starting in verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years, a whole lifetime, are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, to come back home. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You remember that next time you're doubting God's intention toward you or wondering what's going on in your life. You remember God's thoughts toward you are of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then there's the life verse. Then there's verse 12. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive." Historically, we know that that promise to the Jewish people was fulfilled over and over and over again. And at one point, after nearly a 2,000-year period of dispersal, in 1948, out of nowhere, a nation was reformed, the nation of Israel, which still exists today. And if God can do amazing things like that in the course of human history, how much more so can he do it in our individual lives? If we seek him with all our hearts, we will find him, and we will be found by him, and the world will change. Our world will change for the better. For once we wandered on paths we did not know where it was going, paths that the Bible said that each and every one led down to destruction. But then one day, we found a path, a narrow path. We were called to it by the Holy Spirit. We learned that the one who opened up that path was somebody named Jesus, who did for us what we could never do for ourselves, died on a cross for our sins so those sins could be forgiven, opened up a door, and began for us a journey that if we would follow in his footsteps, would end at the very throne of God in his presence. Is that the journey you're on today? I trust so. But if not, the journey can begin right now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so